for my family, and for the fearless women and men of the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, the best place I will ever work. Preface. This book was written over the course of more than a year, in the midst of an involuntary career change. I held the position of U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, SDNY, for 7.5 years, extended beyond the usual term, at the personal request of President-elect Donald J. Trump on November 30, 2016, soon after his election. Then on March 11, 2017, I was abruptly fired by President Trump. Since I left that office, the crises have been and continue to be many. The rule of law and faith in the rule of law, the state of judicial and prosecutorial independence, the meaning and primacy of truth, all are in question and under fire in numerous ways. Phrases and concepts like the rule of law and due process and presumed innocent seem to do service these days more as political slogans than as bedrock principles. Other honored precepts appear to be slipping too. It seems preferred these days to demonize one's opponents rather than engage them, to bludgeon critics rather than win them over. There is a creeping contempt for truth and expertise. Rigor is wanting everywhere. We swim in lies, never corrected. And the concept of justice seems turned on its head, holding different meaning depending on whether you are a political adversary or ally. Certain norms do matter. Our adversaries are not our enemies. The law is not a political weapon. Objective truths do exist. Fair process is essential in civilized society. It turns out that the law has something to teach us about truth, dignity, and justice, about how to resolve disagreements and disputes with reason and evidence rather than taunts and character assassination. Much of what passes for argument in the public square these days would be laughed out of court. Politicians and television talking heads would be disbarred for perversions of truth and outright lies. As someone recently put it, federal court is not Twitter. Many people find this moment in America alarming. There is rightfully a sense of urgency. But amid all that urgency, it is also vital to take a deep breath, to take a step back, to try to understand how justice is supposed to be accomplished, then study the contrast between the bombast and anger versus the calm thought process. The education is in that contrast. Early in my tenure as U.S. Attorney, I had this idea of creating a kind of guide for young prosecutors, new and idealistic. People who, in the words of one of my predecessors, Henry Stimson, have hope and virtue, but neither experience nor training. A guide that was not really about the law as such, but about how to find the right way to do the right thing, drawing not from legal texts and treatises, but from the real-life human dilemmas that would perplex them every day. And in developing its themes, I realized that it might in fact be a guide to justice generally, not only for practitioners, but for real people who strive and struggle in their homes and offices to be fair and just. I didn't write the book then for various reasons, but the concept remained in my head and in my heart. It's my hope that years in the trenches overseeing the finest group of public servants I have ever met lend me some perspective to help people make sense of what has been happening in America. In putting down these thoughts and stories, I went back to cases and controversies that predate today's legal battles. More important, I went back to basics. What does it mean to be fair and fair-minded? What does independence require? How is truth discovered? How is justice served? What is discretion and how to exercise it wisely? Not in the abstract, but in the messy and meddlesome real world, where we rely on flawed humans to carry out those ideals on the ground. So this book is about those things. And because it is also very much about the present. Sometimes the best way to address current events is to recall first principles. For as long as I can remember, I have wanted to advance justice and its understanding. I have been devoted to the mission, cause, and philosophy of it my whole life, personally, academically, and professionally. What it is, what it means, how to accomplish it, how it thrives, how it dies. When I was in high school in New Jersey, I entered public speaking contests. One competitive category required giving a speech previously delivered by someone else. It was, I suppose, the super nerd version of covering a song. I was 15 when I came across the